DW Africa Link.
50 years ago, a bold vision was born, uniting West African nations under a single regional bloc, ECOWAS. As the Economic Community of West African States kicks off its 50th anniversary celebrations, the million-dollar question remains: has it lived up to its promise of integration, peace, and prosperity? In a region still grappling with coups, economic hardship, and growing discontent, we unpack the legacy and relevance of ECOWAS today. That's what's coming up. Stay tuned. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
ECOWAS launched its 50th anniversary celebration in Accra this week, unveiling a new logo and the theme for a year-long celebration across West Africa. But the bloc's unity faces serious tests, especially after the withdrawal of Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger, now aligned under the Alliance of Sahel States. With questions over its relevance and future, how can ECOWAS adapt? Now, joining me for this discussion is political analyst Dr. Samuel Afriyi and DW's correspondent in Accra, Ghana, Isaac Kalechi. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us here on DW Africa Link podcast. As today we are talking about ECOWAS as they begin their 50th anniversary celebrations. However, we are all aware that the recent withdrawal of Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger from the bloc to form the Alliance of Sahel States, AES, has been considered a blow to ECOWAS' relevance. But that's what we want to talk about today. And we will start with you, Dr. Afriyi. How would you rate 50 years of ECOWAS?
Thank you very much, and to your viewers and also your listeners as well. ECOWAS started well in 1975 with about 15 members and with the intent of trying to have economic integration. So the intent was economic integration, but as time evolves, then they were adding some political and other regional groupings intent to achieve. But so far, if you look at the performance, I think we cannot say that ECOWAS has not achievement. But if you compare to the performance and how regional integration in terms of economic, that is the real intent. You can say that there is some kind of element of internal trade that is going on amongst member countries. And also we have the free movement of people, goods and services as well. But one thing that is a great concern to the ECOWAS is the insecurity aspect of what is happening now. We can talk about the challenges of these foreign countries, insurgents, that is these countries. And at the same time, we can talk about the geopolitics of these member countries. You know that we have these American and France and UK having a lot of influence in the ECOWAS. But now you realize that the Russians are also in, you know, the superpowers. So that is also switching some kind of interest to member countries moving to seek what their kind of interest in terms of economic, in terms of security. So for security, I think that ECOWAS has not done much. You can also say that in 1990, you can seriously realize that the ECOMOC was also handling some of the issues in terms of, that is in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea-Bissau, that was the peacekeeping. So security aspect, but now ECOWAS is not having the capacity to handle current geopolitics and the kind of current issues in terms of handling security and also drug trafficking. And we talk about these insurgents among member countries. And that is what ECOWAS is lacking in terms of the capacity to handle these current issues confronting the regional body.
Right. Now, coming to you also, Isaac Kelechi, as a reporter, a journalist, of course, not for 50 years, you've not been covering ECOWAS, but for the years that you've been a journalist and you've been reporting on issues to do with ECOWAS, how would you also rate the 50 years of ECOWAS?
I think the reason for putting up ECOWAS was appropriate, was needed. I mean, looking at, obviously, the whole issue of the history behind trying to unify Africa as a continent to have one voice. And of course, there are many people who disagree with Ghana's own Dr. Kwame Nkrumah as whether we go that way or we go regional before, sub-regional before we get to the continental level. But I think that, yes, it was right for various sub-regions to have one voice, to have a way of doing things. And ECOWAS was really, was promising, or was promising at the point that it was set up. But I think over 50 years, if you talk, during my reporting, if you talk to people, ordinary citizens of Africa, or West Africa, I should say, they seem to be distant from ECOWAS itself in terms of the real impulse or intent and its impact in their lives. Because I'm sure many West Africans would love to travel across the region easier. They would love to trade easier. They would love to be able to get things done across easier, but they don't seem to have that happening. So obviously a lot of people will question the relevance of ECOWAS 15 years because they don't see the reality. But of course, others who have also witnessed what ECOWAS did when it came to, let's say, conflicts in Sierra Leone, in Liberia, even Gambia, when Yahya Jammeh didn't want to leave and all that. So they clearly also can see the relevance of that, especially people who are old enough, but for many younger generations, they don't really see the relevance of ECOWAS, and you can't actually begrudge them because they have to feel the impact in their lives to see that, well, belonging to ECOWAS has been useful. And I think that that's some of the things that ECOWAS has to take a look at going forward to see how they can carry along the young people and make them appreciate why it's important to have a sub-regional block like this.
Right. Now, tell us about the ECOWAS anniversary launch, Isaac. How was it patronized?
Well, I think it was generally well patronized. Well, we just that we did not have all the presidents from the sub-region coming. Yeah, we had Liberia president in. Of course, Ghana's president was there. We had other leaders from the various countries coming. But I don't think really it was like a summit that you require all of them there. It was the launch of an anniversary. And the other conversations that were taking place were being handled by the foreign affairs ministers and also the finance minister. So obviously, to that point, it was okay, it was well patronized. I'm sure people would have loved to see all the regional leaders there with the chairman of the ECOWAS and other countries or president from other countries. But I think that that really is not the point. It's to launch an anniversary, and that was fairly patronized.
Right. Let's just hear from you also, Dr. Afriyi, on the anniversary launch, your opinion. How would you describe the way it was patronized?
Well, administratively, I think we can see that it was well organized, but for just 50 years launch, and we believe that you could have seen the regional leaders been there. At least if we can have, because now, because the three has left the Sahel countries, we can even say that we can have at least five or six member countries. At least if their leaders were there, it will just add value to how committed they are to the regional body. And that is where I was having a difficulty, because if you come out with the original, and that is your foreign ministers, to this anniversary, the lunch, how do you perceive, how do you communicate this? As Isaac said, you know, these generations, these Gen Zs want to see something. They want to feel how they are being part of this regional body. But if you don't make yourself visible, if you don't make yourself available and make commitment to your statement and to the regional body vision, then that is unfortunate. And it's so disappointing that we could not even see most of these regional leaders at the launch in Accra.
Right. We've also heard from Isaac Kelechi on how even ordinary West Africans perceive ECOWAS, that they don't even believe in it. Young people don't even understand about the body. But just to also find out from you, Doctor, what you can say about the challenges the body ECOWAS has faced all these years, and how do you think they could have managed them, or maybe how do you think they've managed them well?
I think ECOWAS may have some challenges of institutional challenge in terms of, you know, that is a regional body, that is the body. They have some challenges about managing situations. You know, the way they managed Niger's situation when it happened and how they were just trying to use the hard approach, the hard way to handle the issues. That is the old way. That is the old colonial way. I believe that they could have used diplomatic engagement in a way to handle some of these. Because in some of these countries, they tend to have their own peculiar situations. And when you join a group, you always think about you benefiting, but not being seen as one of the, you being a victim in some of these kind of policies or rules and regulations by these ECOWAS. So they were a little bit concerned, I believe, that in terms of their security aspect and also how they are benefiting. At the same time, I think good governance is one of the major weaknesses of ECOWAS. They were not able to handle some of these leaders, their leaders, that were perpetuating themselves in power, that were trying to circumvent some of these kind of constitution in a democratic way, to be seen as that they are changing things in a democratic way. But they were just being democratic dictators in a way. And that was what the people or their country, some of these member countries felt, that ECOWAS were not doing anything. And when we rise up, when we tend to change things for the better, you come in these sanctions and these hard kind of discriminating policies. And that is how ECOWAS were not able to handle some of these. And you know, the leaders, I think now, ECOWAS lack leaders that, if I'm using quotes, some credibility leaders. I'm not saying currently they don't have, but you need to have leaders that command respect, that command a kind of control, a kind of value that other member countries can believe, can trust. I think member countries that within these group, are feeling some kind of mistrust among some of the leaders of this union. And that is what probably is making some of these ECOWAS issues being handled in an appropriate way. So for these kind of situations, I think that the ECOWAS is not handling things well. You know, of late, I think, as Isaac said, the major problem of these ECOWAS is unemployment. And that is what has made some of these rebels or groups trying to recruit them for these kind of these incentives in most of these countries. You know, so youth unemployment, which has been forecasted that every year we have about 4%, of which Cape Verde has the highest unemployment within the sub-region, that is within the member countries, about 16.3%. And where Niger, that they have left, has the lowest. You know, so unemployment is something, but ECOWAS has started implementing a 10-year youth development policy in terms of using education and training. But these policies are not being felt. This plan is not being strategically being implemented in these member countries. So we realize that ECOWAS is handicapped. ECOWAS is not having the right leaders. The leaders that can use diplomatic engagement will try to command people in a nice, in a diplomatic way, to cajole people, leaders, so that they will bring on board. And that is what ECOWAS is lacking now. But now, I think 2022 and 2023, we have about 1,466 kg, that is kilogram of cocaine or drugs, being as a traffic point in West Africa. And that is also one case that ECOWAS is confronted with. And that is unfortunate. And I believe that we need leaders to re-strategize, regroup institutional challenges that they have, and so that we can have an effective union. If not, I'm sorry that ECOWAS, I think, has a short time to live for their effectiveness for member countries.
Right. Now, before we touch on these three members that left the bloc, Isaac Kalechi, I don't know if you also want to add some challenges you've discovered that the body is facing in some of your reports.
Yes, I mean, largely Doc has mentioned those challenges, but I think largely it's about the sub-regional bloc really not thinking through some of its policies and being progressive enough looking at the changes that we are having geopolitically, and also looking at how things have evolved globally. And I think clearly the challenge has been trying to make sure they are relevant, or the institution is relevant to the needs of the younger population. And like Doc said, there are many challenges that young people have. And if any sub-regional bloc is not able to resolve those issues for these young people, economical, when it comes to job creation, and giving them the opportunity to be able to unleash their potential and talent. And we see many of the young people leaving the sub-region to go, let's say, to southern part of the continent, specifically South Africa, or maybe beyond the shores of Africa, then it means that really you can't really carry them along. And if you see, for example, the reaction of many young Africans or many young South Africans to the coup that took place in Niger, Mali, Burkina Faso, and how they even seem to be singing the praise of these young coup leaders, it tells you that the young people in the South region really are fed up. They don't really see that even democracy can really help them develop. And that is quite dangerous, that they seem to think that a non-democratic system that you have the coup leaders actually putting across is more relevant to than a democratic system that ECOWAS is trying to push. So I think the challenge has been carrying on along the young people. And I think moving forward, they will have to really focus on that.
Right. And what about the issue that Doc has just also touched on, the issue of drugs? We look at the borders in West Africa. Kelechi, where do you think the great challenge is? Which country do you think is really not doing enough to try and stop this going across borders?
No, I think, I mean, in West Africa, the borders are porous, to be honest. And the drug issue is in twofold. It tells us that there's high demand for it among young people who are consuming it. For example, in Ghana, there are concerns about people abusing drugs, and tramadol and other drugs. And it appears it's not just in Ghana, because I know that when we reported about this, there are people who say come to Nigeria, you see that it's even worse than Ghana. And it's across the sub-region. For example, this film that was actually seized in Ghana was headed to Niger, obviously. So it tells you that within the sub-region, there's high demand for these drugs. It's a challenge. It also tells you that our borders are porous. So if there's a demand for it, that's one issue. How do we make sure that young people don't demand these things? But also, it's also about borders. How secure are they to ensure that we don't have some of these things? So, yes, it's a very important issue that Doc has mentioned that we need to deal with, because it's destroying a lot of young people. But clearly tells you that many young people don't have any opportunities to put their energy through, and you have to resort to some of these things.
But do you also think that the media is doing enough, Kelechi? Let's talk about even international or local media to bring awareness to the youth, especially when it comes to the dangers of drugs.
Well, I agree that, yeah, maybe we have not told the story in such a way that people can appreciate the damage it's causing to them. We can do better. We can do better by telling them more and bringing the story to real to them, to really relate to them. Just not to report it when maybe there are seizures, but really to bring the real impact having on young people to bear. I think some are doing it to some extent, but we can all do it better to let people know that this is a very dangerous thing. Yeah.
Right, right. Now, Doc, let's go back to the three members that left the block. And like you say, that the body's relevance is sort of like diminishing. Do you feel like the exit of these three members also had so much influence on some members that feel like maybe we shouldn't even be here, but obviously they don't know how to leave? What's your opinion on that?
Yes, when you are in a group and you know you've seen that one or two people are leaving, the question is why. You ask yourself these questions, and maybe there are certain things that is going on that you are not aware, or you are aware, or But you can't take that whole decision. And some people have taken that decision. And that is what is going on. And it's quite unfortunate that what led these three countries, you know, don't forget that Mauritania left in 2000 and had their own reasons of leaving. They think that they are not benefiting more from this ECOWAS membership. So they tend to move away from. And now, but when you look at these three countries, where Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso, I think they can have a common reason of leaving. I think one is that they think that they were not being treated fairly when they took the action. That is one. At the same time, there were some security concerns, that of other insurgents within their various countries. And it seems the ECOWAS were not in their forthright to work or to help them to handle some of these kind of these insurgents. At the same time, you can also see in terms of how the geopolitics about who takes control in West Africa, and that is what was going on. You see, of late, you realize that Russians are making inroads, and Chinese are also making inroads in some of these African. I think it has been a platform for these world powers to also trade themselves in these geopolitics. So, if I'm within the UK or the Americans, and I realize that I'm not being treated fairly, and I can go to Russia, Russia can help me in terms of security to protect my borders, as Isaac was saying. At the same time, they can also serve my interest to make sure that things are well done in terms of resources. So the inability of these countries, France, where they were being perceived, especially because all these countries that they have left are Francophone countries, and they left because they were being seen as should I use the word, slaves or more, or not being treated, because everything is sent to France. Everything and their country is not well developed. So infrastructure in terms of development, in terms of how they are being seen as colonies. And this is what was moving in the minds of these, especially the young ones, as I was saying, you know, because for old people, they think that it's okay for us to belong to France. But, you know, the young ones, because of now the technology, because of now internet, everywhere, social media, they can know whatever goes on in everywhere, every part of the world. So they are privy to information. They are knowledgeable. They know what is going on. So based on that, they are informed about how to protect their interests and how to also engage themselves to also fight for what they think that can be of interest to them. Because now they have access to every country where they see their brothers and sisters or their colleagues somewhere in other countries having freedom, doing job opportunities. And that was what was going on in this country. So you can realize that the inability of ECOWAS to handle these kind of issues in terms of how these young ones will get a job, but reneging on their responsibility, that necessitates, especially, I think I made it earlier that good governance. ECOWAS were protecting some of their leaders by making them democratic dictators, changing the constitution to favor them, extending their tenure of office. And that was what is going on. And these people realize that, no, we have to get out from ourselves, from these kind of groups, and let's seek our interests. Let's protect our borders. Let's protect our sovereignty, especially in terms of the geopolitics. Let's align ourselves with another superpower who can best be of interest. At the same time, we also have to have our own way of handling our issues for not being controlled. And when we are off from this group, I think we can be more free to handle things for ourselves rather than being a group that they see as ineffective in a way of handling their concerns. And I think that is what made these, as we described them, the Sahel states to leave. That is Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso.
Political analyst Dr. Samuel Afrii in Ghana and DW's Isaac Kalechi, many thanks for joining us. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a vital part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. You can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts from. This episode was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW, made for minds.